The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time has come.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." And then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place. And awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. Before all this happens, however, they will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons. And they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead you to you giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." The Gospel of the Lord. Blessed Sunday. Good morning to everybody. So last night we had our adult confirmations at the 5 p.m. Vigil Mass. People from all over the diocese, and Bishop Soto was here, and 160 people were confirmed. Yeah, absolutely. Praise God. That's a good thing when somebody receives a sacrament. And as you can imagine, that's why we're announcing it a week beforehand. Especially for the vigil mass goers, don't come. Do not come to that mass, because as you can imagine, 160 people confirmed, plus their sponsors, so over 300, just that group, their family and their friends, and sure enough, this place was bursting at the seams. People were literally outside of the church, just trying to squeeze in here. The mass was 2 hours long. To confirm 160 people takes a long time. And remember, we have 5 p.m. English Mass, and then we have a 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. Imagine the parking lot. As one crowd was trying to leave, another crowd trying to come in, and then someone that was confirmed, I guess they were feeling dizzy or nauseated, I don't know, but they had to call a paramedic. And so you had fire trucks and paramedics outside as the Mass was leaving, another Mass trying to come in, and it was a madhouse yesterday. But he was okay. I checked in on him. He was fine. He was talking. And so it was good. But it was hilarious just how crazy it was. So prior to the Mass beginning, we had all of the confirmandi, that's what we call them, confirmandi, and their sponsors in the hall. So the hall was packed with 300 of them. And we gave a little talk to help prepare them spiritually to welcome them to St. Mary's. And I asked all 300 of them, why are you Catholic? Why? I preached about this last Sunday as well, so if I use this question because the readings are perfect from last Sunday and these readings today. I said, really ask yourself, why are you Catholic? And I pose that question because as our Lord here speaks about, if you decide to be a follower of Jesus Christ, if you truly want to follow Him and be a disciple, and to grow in relationship with Him and to love Him, guess what our reward will be? They will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to governors, to synagogues, and to prison. You will even be betrayed by your own blood, by your own parents, by your own brothers and your own relatives and friends. They will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. So in other words, what our Lord here is speaking about is that they will persecute you because of me. And one of the gifts of persecution is that it crystallizes your reasons for existing. Because imagine, let's say, why are you Catholic? Or when I asked that question yesterday, I'm Catholic because my mom forced me to be here. That answer will not hold up to persecution. Why are you Catholic? I'm Catholic because my wife or my husband forced me to be here. Or sometimes, I'm Catholic because I'm getting married in the church in a few months and my fiance is pressuring me. I mean, that's a start. But we better come up with a more mature answer. And I say that because the weight of the words of our Lord cannot be ignored. And as I mentioned last Sunday, I brought up the example of Father Carlos, our own vicar here. We all know why. Remember why he's here? But because the dictator of Nicaragua is persecuting the Catholic Church. And if you are a faithful Catholic priest and you dare speak up against his government, he will persecute you. And if you were to ask Father Carlos, why are you Catholic? Father Carlos has an answer. And it's not because his mom told him to be. Father Carlos was tortured for his Catholic faith. He is a living example of our Lord's words. As they were looking at the glorious temple in Jerusalem, as the Gospels began, it's hard to appreciate the weight of what Jesus just said here. Because for the Jewish people, just to put ourselves in their shoes, the Temple of Jerusalem was the center of their lives, the center of their society, their government, their religion. Everything revolved around the Jewish temple, and their best artists, the architects, their construction workers, the best artists were given to that temple to adorn it, to make it the most magnificent temple in the world. And that's why it says here, they were marveling at the sight of this beautiful, beautiful building. And then Jesus comes in, the party pooper. He says, oh yeah? All of this will be torn down. They would have been shocked. And immediately, they said, Jesus, when will this happen? And then he begins to outline the signs. There will be earthquakes, insurrections, wars. There'll be great signs in the sky. All of this, by the way, came true. There's a extra biblical account of this event, meaning outside of scriptures. There was a Jewish Roman historian by the name of Flavius Josephus. He was an eyewitness to the destruction of the Jewish temple in the year 70. See, one of the great gifts of the Roman Empire is that they're very meticulous. They kept great records. In fact, much of our military culture comes from the Roman Empire. Our discipline, the hard work of our soldiers, the rankings and the awards that we give to heroic deeds in battle. Where did all that come from? Well, a lot of it stems and grows out of the empire. Flavius Josephus, in his account of what happened, because he was standing on a hill and he watched the events unfold. And he wrote down, and we have this account from the first century. He says, preceding the invasion of the Roman Empire when they destroyed the city of Jerusalem, he says that for an entire year, he described it, he's the word, there was a sword in the sky. There was a comet that could be visible for an entire year. And astrologers have actually confirmed this. They know what comet that was. Because, you know, scientific nerds, they can calculate these things. And he says there was a comet in the sky that could be seen. There was great winds and great earthquakes. There was great signs. And at one point he describes that there was a great sign where they seen soldiers dressed in helmets and armor in the sky. Again, he's describing it, and he's writing it down, and he can't quite understand. He's just chronicalizing it, just writing it down. And there's great winds, and people were wondering, what are all these magnificent sights? Again, this is not in scripture. This is him just writing it down. It's a fascinating account. It's called the Jewish War. If you want to go deeper into this account. And sure enough, in the year 70, the Roman Empire smashed Jerusalem. And I use that word specifically because when the Roman Empire would invade your city and they conquered you, in order to make it felt of their power and their might, they would level your entire city. And that's what they did. They flattened the temple. And then the words, literally, stone upon another stone will be thrown down. That's what they did. Our Lord warned about this. And so it causes, again, the question, when the persecutions come, why? I was reminded of this reason why on Friday night. You know, we have adoration here. It's one of the beautiful aspects of our parish. We have adoration. And I hope, just to kind of give you a little insight into my brain and for the vision of our beautiful parish, this is just me just reaching for the moon. I would love for us to go to 24-hour adoration, by the way, which will take a lot of hard work because it requires a lot of volunteers. Could you imagine if our parish was open 24 hours a day, just people adoring the Lord 24 hours? We would become a beacon of powerhouse of prayer here. We will draw everybody from Dixon, from Fairfield, from Davis to have a 24-hour adoration chapel. Oh, I would love to do that. But I'm sidetracked right now. So. There was a young lady here on Friday night. I recognized her briefly. I thought I recognized her. And so after adoration was done, as we were closing out, this was around 6 o'clock at night, I went up to her. I said, "Hey, I remember you from St. Joseph's." She was part of our young adult group that we had started in 2016. And I recognized that, "Hey, her name is Nicole. Nicole, great to see you again. It's been such a long time." And we were catching up briefly. And she said, "Father, I want to show you my tattoo." She rolled up her sleeve, and sure enough, she had a quote here on her arm, on her forearm. I said, "Oh, that's a nice tattoo." She says, "This was a quote that you gave during one of your homilies at St. Joseph's." She had heard it in the homily, and she tattooed it on her arm. I am not recommending you tattoo anything on your body from my homilies, by the way. She showed it to me, and it said a quote. It was a Latin quote. "Non nisi te domine." It's a famous quote from the medieval period from Thomas Aquinas. In his beautiful story, he had written an account of the Holy Eucharist. It's a treatise on the Eucharist, one of the last things that he ever wrote. And he tried to describe the mystery and the beauty and the power of the Holy Eucharist. And he brings it before the tabernacle and the chapel, and we have a first-hand account of this event. He brings it in front of the tabernacle, and he lays it, his treatise, his what he wrote, in front of the tabernacle, and he asked the Lord, "Did I write well? Did I capture the mystery of the Eucharist in words?" And it said that a voice radiated from the tabernacle, and it said, "Thomas, you have written well of me. What would your reward be? What would you have as your gift?" It's the proverbial, if you rubbed a lamp and a genie popped out and he had three wishes, what would it be? We've all heard that before. If God were to ask you, if you have anything you want in the world, what would it be? Essentially, that's what God said to Thomas Aquinas for his reward. And his response was, "Non nisi te domine. Nothing but you, Lord." Nothing but you. Why is Nicole Catholic? She knows. And whenever we get distracted by our lives, by the anxieties and the fears of all of the different things we have to deal with on a daily basis, you know what Nicole said? She said, "Father, whenever I get distracted in life and I get scared and I'm tempted to leave or to wander away or to stop praying, all I have to do," and she went like this, "is roll up my sleeve and I read it." And I said, "Oh yeah, Jesus." And so, my friends, why are you Catholic?